You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan, one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Shop the Nissan Now sales event online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Oh, yeah, that's getting out of town music if I've ever heard it. That's, you know, I want to get through this traffic. I'm going to bob and weave my way out and slip it into top gear, and it's gone. I'm gone for the weekend, right? Good choice of music there. Welcome back to the final hour of Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 2. Jim Taddy subbing along with Josh Lewenberg on a getaway day, which we've detailed nicely in the past.
I am not mailing it in, Jim. This is
Did I say that?
This is the best I've ever been. This is the best I have to offer.
Sorry to hear that.
Scary, yeah. I'm sorry. Doesn't bode well.
No, if that's all we have, then our apologies will be mailed out. By the way, the Raptors. The Argos in Edmonton will be kicking off at BMO Field at 7:30. All our coverage on TSN 1050 will be at 7 o'clock, and you can watch it on the full TSN television network.
A couple of champions, Raptors and Argos, that's why.
I know. Well, you're here, so I've got Raptoritis. I feel like it's June, and we're talking about what could happen again.
Purple fever. As it was once called,
purple fever.
You don't want that.
No, no. Although it was the medicine was enjoyable, wasn't it?
It was.
Maybe not. Keegan Matheson, our baseball insider, will join us at 6:05, which is a couple of minutes from now, at 6:25, talking NFL with Jabari Greer. And you know, I always struggle with the preseason football. Not exactly my wheelhouse.
No, but I'm a big fantasy football guy, so there are little things that you can take from it. Like, you look at the snippets at the beginning of the game when they've got their first team offense in, and you're trying to see, okay, well, which receivers do they have in, and which running backs do they have in with the first team offense with the starting quarterback? And then, obviously, with the younger guys, you want to see who stands out. But, yeah, for football, the preseason, which most people think is too long, even at 4 weeks.
Yeah.
The biggest goal, like it is in most preseasons, is just to come out of it healthy. And that's why I think you see with most of these football teams, most of these NFL teams, especially the ones that have Super Bowl aspirations, and especially the ones with veteran players, they're not playing their guys in some cases at all, but in the other cases, more than one drive to begin the game.
By the way, the Jays did claim catcher Bo Taylor off waivers from Oakland. So when we get Keegan,
stop the
in,
presses.
Breaking, yes. Where's the music, Malls? Dan, 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 dan. Okay, we didn't have it. But anyway, I just... Oh, crickets. Thank you. The crickets are back. Good to know. I just want to go back to what you said about, you know, the first couple of series. I mean, football is... You don't want to reveal anything. So yeah. What are they actually showing you?
Probably very little. And we'll talk to Jabari Greer about it at 6:25. But I think the biggest story going into the games yesterday was Arizona and Kyler Murray, the first overall pick, and this new offense, this new team that they're supposed to be implementing here and putting together for this season. If nothing else, they're supposed to be a lot of fun. It didn't look like it yesterday after an impressive preseason debut for Murray. He really struggled in a small sample, granted, yesterday, but that offense was not looking like that air raid that it's supposed to look like and all of that. I mean, yeah, I think in that situation, if you're that new coaching staff coming in there and trying to install this new, really creative offensive system, do you want to be showing all your cards in the preseason? Probably not. So, I think any overreaction to Kyler Murray's struggles, at least in game two of the preseason, are probably premature, because that is a team that, if nothing else, they're going to be intriguing.
I always sum it up with optimism remains on hold at the Lions camp.
Yes.
Again, decade number 5 of that.
Yeah, this year could be especially rough.
That's not what a Lions fan wants to hear. Well, especially rough.
Kerryon Johnson, though. I'm on the Kerryon bandwagon.
I'm just not, you know, I've seen a number of transitions in the front office and on the coaching sidelines, and I'm just not convinced that it's right yet.
Matthew Stafford, it seems like, for his entire career, has always been that guy where it's like, okay, well, he's still young. He's got another level that he's good at, but he's not that young anymore, and we still haven't seen that level. He's not the guy, and they don't have enough talent around him, with the exception of Kerryon Johnson.
Well, that's classic Lions, though. How to waste a Hall of Fame talent. They've written a book on that for decades.
Is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Fame talent?
Well, I mean, he's the best quarterback they've had in, what, 50 years? So by their standards, yes.
Yeah, that probably speaks more to the other guys than it does to Matthew Stafford.
All right, that's football. Let's get back to baseball. Keegan Mathison, at Keegan Mathison is the Twitter account. Our Blue Jays reporter for MLB.com is with us. Keegan, how are you today, sir?
Very well, Jim. How you doing?
Let me check. Everything's okay. Bo Taylor claimed off waivers from Oakland, and he was optioned, the 29-year-old to AAA Buffalo. Hit 185 in 33 Major League plate appearances. Provides a little bit of organizational depth, according to our reporter, Scotty Mitchell. Why?
That's about it. You know, we'll trust Scotty on this one. It is just organizational depth. This is says more about Luke Maley, I think, than anything. Maley is out right now with that left oblique strain, and there's no immediate timetable for him right now. Obliques can be tricky coming back from that. So the Blue Jays will have Taylor now in AAA with the Buffalo Bisons, and if something happens to McGuire or Jansen, he would be that next guy up. But it says nothing about the Major League picture. The Blue Jays are good and happy with McGuire and Jansen down the stretch.
Keegan, one of the stories to come out of the ballpark over the last few days has been the confusion, I guess you could call it that, over the upcoming playing time of Justin Smoak and that misunderstanding or whatever it was. What do you make of that and Charlie Montoyo's comments about Rowdy Tellez potentially playing more than Smoak going forward? Was it a case in which the manager misspoke? Was it a miscommunication between manager and the first baseman? How has that sort of unfolded over the last few days?
Yeah, it's a good question because Charlie's wording at the time was that he would bet that Rowdy Tellez plays a bit more than Justin Smoak down the stretch. And I wouldn't take that to be an official signed and sealed press release, really, from the Blue Jays. I think that maybe in the field they want to see a bit more of Rowdy Tellez. He'll get some of those DH at-bats, but Justin Smoak is still going to be in there. It wouldn't surprise me if he's in there just as much, if not more, down the stretch. But kind of like we'll see with this catching situation, guys, with McGuire playing sometimes over Jansen, it's not always going to be about putting the veteran or putting the starter out there. It's trying to figure out what 2020 is going to look like and down the road. And this is kind of a live-action audition for guys like this. And in Rowdy Tellez's case, he's had a few opportunities now, and he hasn't exactly seized them. He is hit for power but not for average, and he hasn't gotten on base enough. So this is his real opportunity, and you know, not a last opportunity, but they do tend to run out at a certain point, and that unfortunately has to come at the cost of Justin Smoak a bit, but I don't think he's going to be totally pushed out by any means.
So Keegan, as you're well aware, the headline is the left side of the infield, which is just gorgeous. It looks great, and you can project years down the road. Is there any other part of the Blue Jay roster that could mirror that at any point?
You know, in terms of consistency going forward, I think you'll see a lot of consistency behind the plate. In second base, Gavin Biggio potentially. Is he a utility guy down the road? We'll see. But in terms of real standout position, the Blue Jays are still not in a waiting game. I guess a developing game, you would still call it, guys. And when you commit to a rebuild like this, it's encouraging. And when you see these young pieces get to this point, but you also reach this point where the Blue Jays are at right now where it has to work. And that development has to continue. And that applies to Bo and Vladdy as well, because pitchers are going to take them very seriously now. You don't want to be the next guy on a highlight reel with a home run or another double going off the bat against you. So how these guys will adjust and adapt down the road will be a big one, but there's still room for lots of fluidity and flexibility on this roster, even with all the young guys already here.
The kids, the young guys, seem to be really close, getting along great, as you would imagine that they would be. But as you know, it's always so important for any of these young rebuilding teams to have the old heads, the veterans, the old guys in the room to provide that mentorship and the leadership and to just lead by example and show those guys how to be pros. This isn't a team with a lot of vets now. We talked about Justin Smoak earlier. Who's the guy right now in the room that's sort of stepped into that role? And is there, I guess, a vacancy or is there a worry, a fear of there not being enough of those guys in the room with these young players?
Yeah, this can work in a couple of ways, I think. And number one is the obvious candidate, who is Justin Smoak. And just being an older player, you know, relatively speaking, a over 30 player on this roster, that doesn't automatically make you a leader. We jump into that, I think, pretty quickly sometimes. But Justin Smoke does quietly work with a lot of these guys, and why I think he's important, the detail that's important with him, is that when you go back to 2009, 2010, Justin Smoke was supposed to be the next big thing. You know, he was that next Mark Teixeira, Carlos Beltran, big bat in the middle of a lineup. And for years in Texas and Seattle, that did not happen. It didn't work out. So his experience going through those trials as a prospect who did not work out, that can be valuable on a team full of young guys. But at the same time, some of these young players will step into that quickly. You know, Kevin Biggio is 24 on paper, but he is much older in that clubhouse. He's a guy who you will see his face in front of the screen after losses and after wins. That matters. I think he will be one of the real voices of this team, and you can get that from coaching from within also. So there's a lot of different ways. Doesn't have to be that one graybeard grizzled guy in the clubhouse. And I think the Blue Jays wouldn't have moved on from guys like Galvis, et cetera, if they didn't feel like they had that.
Keegan, I mean, you're well aware what they did. And I think, you know, in terms of moving people out, they did what they could. And what the return is will be decided as it develops. Having said that, I mean, that's not their only option in rebuilding this. If you had a to-do list for the offseason, how would that stack up?
It would be the word pitching written over and over down a very long list, maybe with a couple of pages. You know, the Blue Jays, right now, where they are, they're at least in the place where they can let these position players get a long look. Maybe a couple of years from now, they realize, hey, this guy didn't work out. We need to add on top of him. And the outfield, some people certainly need to step forward. But when you look at this pitching rotation, where it is right now, there are a lot of rookies. There are a lot of openers. And that is not ideal on either side. Now, some of these young guys will grow into roles. Maybe two or three of these internal candidates will eventually become rotation pieces. But unless a Nate Pearson, Eric Pardino work out down the road, the Blue Jays are still looking for those top end or really reliable starters. And I know I'm kind of talking about a guy like Marcus Stroman right now who was traded away, but that's what the Blue Jays are going to need again when they're really competing. And that can come a lot of different ways, maybe free agency on the sooner end of things or waiting until they're close and making a big deal down the line. But it's got to all be about pitching because these guys positionally can't be going out and putting up 8 runs and losing 10-8. You know, that's not a good feeling and not what the Blue Jays should be having around them.
Well, speaking about the pitching and looking at how the Jays have the rotation lined up for the next 5 days or so, I wanted to ask you about the opener, just in general around baseball now. Jays sounds like going with an opener ahead of Pannone on Sunday and possibly ahead of Reed Foley on Tuesday. It's something that we saw Tampa do a lot last year. I can't recall it being done too often, if at all, before that. How much has the way in which teams, specifically the Jays, are managing their pitching staff changed over the last year or so, and how do you see this developing down the line?
It's been significant, and I think the best way to look at this, Josh, is to compare the first half of the Blue Jays season to where we are now, even if we go back to spring training. Of course, the first question we were asking Charlie Montoyo when we met him as the new Blue Jays manager is, will the opener follow you from Tampa Bay? And the answer was, you know, maybe, eventually, but in a perfect world, there are 5 starting pitchers. And the reality of Major League Baseball right now is that not many teams have 5 starters who are going out and throwing 6 innings. It's just changed so much. But teams like the Blue Jays going to the opener this much, it's not ideal. You know, there's no way to dance around that. You know, putting a reliever out for an inning or two and then piggybacking him with a young guy, this is not an ideal scenario. That being said, what the Blue Jays did last time out with Wilmer Font and Thomas Pannone, I think that was August 13. They're going to do it again this coming weekend. That's what it looks like when it works. Wilmer Font sees the lineup one time. Thomas Pannone sees them twice. The whole idea is to avoid hitters seeing a pitcher for a third time. That's when things get ugly. So when it works, it's pretty and you look smart, but otherwise it can look a bit messy and you still are hoping, if you're a team in Major League Baseball, that you have those established starters. But the Blue Jays obviously having to work with what they have right now.
Keegan, as an overview, what is the most optimistic about what you're seeing? What is the most negative?
Optimistic, you're looking at young hitters who are comfortable and aggressive and not just leaning on the home run. I think that's important. Earlier this season, the Blue Jays had a very low on-base percentage, and that's hard to sustain from game to game, being successful. Now when they are stringing together these extra base hits, which Bo Bichette is a machine when it comes to that, you can sustain this offense from game to game. It's better to score 6, 6, and 6 runs in a few games than going up and down, waiting for those home run balls. So that's encouraging. But if you're looking at a pessimistic standpoint, A, you want pitching. B, you want to figure out that outfield, I think, and find some star power on top of this. When you compare the Blue Jays to playoff teams, you can see how they're getting close. But when you look at the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, the list goes on, these World Series contenders, you've got stars around the team. So that'll take some time, but it's something the Blue Jays will need to certainly address and continue adding down the road.
Keegan, how is Bo Bichette handling all of this? I mean, obviously, he's a young player. He's gotten off to this hot start, which doesn't always happen with these high-ranking prospects. But, of course, he's got baseball in his blood, in his family. He's been around it for a long time. How has he sort of been balancing confidence and humility early in his Major League Baseball career?
Yeah, with a really unnatural ease. It's been pretty interesting to watch. And this is where those baseball bloodlines actually come in. We talk about them so much as these guys are prospects and, you know, speaking to them about this as well. You know, how does that impact your game? Does it help? And it's always kind of an I don't know answer. We'll see. And, you know, of course, it helps to have Vladdy Sr. or Craig Biggio helping you out with your swing. But you're seeing it now as these guys arrive, because going from minor league baseball to the majors is a different planet in terms of lifestyle. You know, the pay is different, the life is different, the travel, where you're staying, everything changes very quickly. And for guys who have been around Major League Baseball, they at least know that's coming. It's not going to make it easy, but it kind of smooths that transition and removes any other variables, because there are already enough variables for a rookie in Major League Baseball coming up for the first time. So that at least simplifies the lifestyle side of things. And you're seeing that with how comfortable Guerrero and Biggio and Bichette have all been. I think it really stands out.
Keegan, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Baseball insider Keegan Mathison, Blue Jays reporter for MLB.com. At Keegan Mathison is the Twitter account. I don't see anybody with Bo Bichette's hair for a Twitter account yet.
Yeah. Do you think that would be a good look for me, Jimmer?
No guy.
I can, you can pull it off. It would look good with the mustache.
No guy. By the way, I don't know if you know the lyrics to Penny Lane, the Beatles song, but no. There's a barbershop referred into it, and I got this trimmed last Saturday in that famous barbershop.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a moment, and I enjoyed it. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL with Jabari Greer, getting into the preseason, the four-game preseason schedule, which is cause for debate as well. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050, watching on TSN 2. Oh, yeah, Noodles picked that. That's backup goaltender music right there. That's what that is. Welcome back to Overdrive, TSN 1050, TSN 2. Jim Taddy and Josh Thunberg on the sub list today for the regulars. Getaway Friday. And we'll have some NFL talk with Jabari Greer shortly. Three games in the NFL tonight as Week 2 grinds on the preseason schedule. Buffalo and Carolina, Chicago and New York against the Giants, Miami in Tampa, a bunch of stuff tomorrow and Sunday, week 2 of 4. A little grueling, no?
It's like the appetizer that nobody wants ahead of the main course that you're excited about. This is the time of year every year. I love the NFL. I love football, Jim, and I get really excited at this time of the year, but then you've got to sit through all these preseason games where, again, you watch maybe one drive, you have the starters in, and then they're pulling those guys, and rightfully so, because you don't want anybody to get hurt. That's what it's about for the NFL teams, especially the good ones, more than anything else right now, is just make it out alive, make it out without any serious injuries, because as we've seen in football every year, no matter what time of year it is, injuries happen and guys go down, and the last thing that you want is one of your key guys on either side of the ball getting hurt this early in the season.
Yeah, and some of those injuries either alter or ruin an entire season. You know, some of those leg injuries, all you need is a roll in and your knee's gone, right?
Yep.
Yeah, scary stuff. BMW Championship going on in golf. Round 2 is done. Hideki Matsuyama had a 9-under today, 63. Sits atop the leaderboard at 12-under. Patrick Cantlay is tied with Tony Finau at 11-under. Justin Thomas is next at 10-under. And Adam Hadwin leads a group at 9-under going into the final two rounds of this. And then, of course, the season wraps up next week with the Tour Championship. But let's talk NFL now. The Twitter account, at Jabari_Greer, is his Twitter account. Jabari Greer is a former NFL player and our TSN NFL analyst and is with us now. How are you today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for the Twitter love, brother. Thank you for the Twitter love. I appreciate that.
I may be a little older, but I'm tuned into how this thing works, so I will push that. I mean, I've seen a few seasons, that's for sure. We are having a debate, and this goes on every year with the four preseason games. When do you think that will change?
Well, for players, I hope, for the players' sake, I hope never, ever. You know, I definitely hope that they don't extend it, but if they do, if they are talking about, you know, taking something away, it would have to be in the next couple of years. You know, the NFL is changing even dramatically since I got out of the NFL. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see anything over the next 2 to 3 years if they formulate it in a way in which they can honestly capitalize and make as much money as they can.
Now, what is the logical solution for you? Do you go from 4 to 2 or do you go from 4 to 3?
Well, I mean, you know what? I would love to be in those rooms talking dollars and cents because obviously when it comes down to the NFL, that's what it's all about. As a player, I would love to go from 4 to 2 to not be able to play, you know, 2 preseason games. But, of course, they would take those 2 preseason games and make them a full season, regular season, and then make it 18-game season, which basically at full speed it takes it because as a professional football player, those 2 preseason games that they're taking away, you're not really playing. If you're a starter, you might be playing 1 quarter or 2 quarters. You take those 2 away, and you're playing 2 full-speed, hard-contact games. So those are the dramatic differences for a player, for the player's sake. So if you're talking about player safety, I think that you would stick with the plan that you have right now. But if we're talking about capitalism, we're talking about making money, obviously you go from 4 to 2.
Jabari, we got another look at Kyler Murray last night. He looked great, I thought, in the preseason debut, less so probably in game 2. What was the biggest difference that you saw from 1 week to the next, and where do you see the biggest area of, I guess, the learning curve that he's going to have to face in his first NFL season?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great question. I think the biggest difference that I saw from the first game to the second game was the play selection by Cliff Kingsbury. In the first game, we saw a lot of quick throws, a lot of the West Coast offense. We saw a lot of the quick outs from the bunch set. We saw a lot of screens, things that were high percentage throws. In the second game, we saw a lot of spread formation, a lot more down the field throws. And the thing that I noticed that was the biggest change that he needs to work on as a professional athlete is standing in the pocket. You saw the second string, Mike Glennon, all 6'5" of him, lanky as he could be, standing straight in the pocket for the Oakland Raiders. This is a guy that had an opportunity to start for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He didn't happen, but you could see the difference between the patience that one quarterback had versus the other. Kyler Murray, even though he's athletic, even though he can run and he can do all those things to extend the play, he has to be comfortable and set his feet in the pocket. If he doesn't, it's going to be a terrible season for him. Mark my words. If he plants his feet and he learns to be patient and comfortable in the pocket, he'll be great. But if he has that skittish feet, if he can't understand the pressure that's going to come and stand in there and take those hits, he's going to have a hard and long learning curve.
I'll ask you about another dynamic young quarterback in Lamar Jackson. We saw his wheels again last night, an impressive 20-plus yard touchdown run, which was negated by a penalty, but it was impressive nonetheless. We don't have too many questions about what he's able to do with his feet. It's more about the arm. How much have you seen his passing improve or grow, develop over the summer, over the last year or so? And what is the ceiling for him this season if he is able to take that next step as a passer?
Well, the truth is I haven't seen that much in regards to his mechanics, because this is what we're talking about, right? We're talking about the mechanics of his throw, his ability to get the ball in the window and get it accurately. So I haven't seen anything dramatically different. But I think that the coach, what Harbaugh has to do is allow the playbook to center around what Lamar Jackson's strengths are. Because he's a dynamic quarterback. He can take things, he can complete as many balls as he wants to over the middle in between 1 to 10 yards. He's a great quarterback in that aspect. But if they want to stretch the field, if they want to do things in which they're going to be pass heavy, Lamar Jackson can be a – it might not be the best system to put him in. So I think that what they have to do is play to his strength, because you got to understand, this guy's been playing football since he's been a kid. He's not going to change from one year to the next. Like, he's pretty much set as a football player right now. He can tweak a little thing. He can tweak here and there. He might be able to get his elbow up a little bit more, maybe a little more comfortable in a pocket. But he is as advertised. This is the player that we're going to get. So being that this is the player we're going to get, we got to use what we have. And Lamar Jackson can be a dynamic player if they continue to focus around what he's strong at. And I think that Harbaugh is doing a great job of doing that. So, you know, I don't want to compare him to a Peyton Manning. I don't want to compare him to a Tom Brady, because he's not, and he'll never be. He can be the best Lamar Jackson that we've ever seen. Obviously, this guy can run the football. He can throw on the run. You know, he's more comparable to Russell Wilson, a young Russell Wilson. He can do everything. So as long as the coaching staff plays to his strengths, allows him to flourish doing what he does well, he can get comfortable in the pocket, and he can complete those passes that they're asking him to do.
Jabari, we're going to play a game here. It's an overview question. So the game is called Up and Down. One team each from the NFC and AFC. One team that goes up, one team that goes down on both sides. What do you have for us?
Oh, well, you know what? Hey, listen, I like the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, the way he was throwing that ball, New York Jets are going up. Obviously, with Le'Veon Bell right now, they have a solidified running back. The bad thing is they did lose their linebacker, Avery Williamson, which is a captain. He's a guy that brings a lot of spirit to their team. But I think they're trending up. A team that could be going down right now could be the San Diego Chargers. They lost Derwin James. He is their heart and soul. He was a dynamic player. We don't know how long he's going to be gone for. But I don't think with that stress fracture in his foot, he's going to be available earlier in the season, which could be an issue in the AFC when they're trying to actually catch Kansas City Chiefs. So for the AFC, I would say the team going up would be the New York Jets. The team going down would be the San Diego Chargers. For the NFC, I think that, of course, we have the New Orleans Saints. I think they're a team that's going to be continuing to go up, because what I see is their secondary has always been their key. As long as they have a great secondary, as long as they have a good defense, the offense is going to matriculate down the field. And I think with what we've seen with Latavius Murray and now Alvin Kamara back there, that 1-2 punch can be dynamic. Drew Brees is going to be consistent. They have some receivers right now. They're trending up. I think that the team in the NFC that's trending down, that's a tough one right there, man. So the Carolina Panthers, you know, although Cam Newton is, I think he's still one of the, I think he's still a top 10 talent. But I just don't see the running style that they love to do be efficient in the offense that they have right now. Christian McCaffrey, he's great, but he's not the Jonathan Stewart that they love. They love the ground and pound. They love that type of ground game. And we haven't seen it over the last couple of years. So I would say that they're kind of trending down this year, especially since they're in the NFC South with the New Orleans Saints.
What do you make of the Antonio Brown drama in Oakland? Is he putting on a show for the Hard Knocks cameras, or is this...
You know what? I was actually thinking about that yesterday, because we've been talking about it, and then when I saw the Hard Knocks, because I don't watch Hard Knocks. You know, that's a drama. That's something else. But when I saw the Hard Knocks on the sideline, the Hard Knocks crew on the sideline, it literally went off like a light bulb. This is what we've been seeing with Antonio Brown. And I honestly believe that as a player, you know, we're in a different age of the NFL. We're in the age of the persona right now. You know, people actually get paid now off of their persona. We saw, you know, Richard Sherman go from a dynamic quarterback, a cornerback, to somebody who is literally like the persona in that position. I think he was one of the guys that kind of transcended that and kind of made the persona on the field something that can really make you a lot of money. So I would not be surprised if the Hard Knocks crew kind of instigated, not necessarily tried to instigate, but allowed Antonio Brown to put that persona on film. So I do think that has something to do with it. But also, I understand with him being injured, you know, the only thing he can do is be the persona off the field because, you know, we all know who he is as a player. We all know that he is one of the – he is probably the best receiver in the NFL. So once he gets on the field, I believe we're going to see Antonio Brown the way that we've always seen him.
Well, while we're on the subject of drama, I'll ask you about the holdout backs. Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas, I guess, chilling in Mexico right now, and Melvin Gordon in San Diego. You mentioned the Chargers earlier. Give me a prediction. Do we see Zeke in week one, and do we see Gordon in week one?
I think we see Zeke in week one. I think that the truth is I don't think these guys want to be in training camp. You know, hey, who really does? But also, given that they are still under contract, I believe that we will see Zeke in week one. Melvin Gordon, who knows? This is the first time that we've seen this right here the first time that we've seen Melvin Gordon kind of take this stand. So this may be something that he's in for the long haul. You know, Le'Veon Bell has established a precedent where a guy will sit out for the entire year and still get paid. So, you know, let's not keep in mind that these are two running backs who have seen this happen over the last year. So, you know, I would say, given that Jerry Jones has what seems to be unlimited pockets, you know, his pockets are deep, I would think that they would get that job done because Ezekiel Elliott is the best in the league and he should get paid like the best in the league. Melvin Gordon, even though he may want top five running back money, I don't think he's a top five running back. So if he's holding out for that, I don't know if he's going to get it. He may hold out longer than Ezekiel Elliott.
Some breaking news coming down while we're on the phone here from Adam Schefter. The NFL is reinstating Josh Gordon. Surprised by that, and what's next there? Is there a suspension coming, and ultimately with the Patriots sort of going through a bit of a turnover on the receiving side of things, how much could Josh Gordon factor in with the Patriots this season?
Oh, but obviously last year we saw some flashes from Josh Gordon. I mean, he's a big receiver. Even though he was out for a year, he still could go downfield, still could make some big catches. He can be a dynamic player. That being said, I don't know exactly how much he's been working out because that is the truth. You know, these guys are in training camp. These guys have been working consistently 6-7 months to get ready for this moment, for this season. Who knows what Josh Gordon has been doing? I know that, you know, he's been hoping that he gets reinstated. Now that he's reinstated, what kind of shape is he in? I would like to reserve my judgment as to what type of player he'll be this year till I honestly see what he can do in the preseason, if he gets an opportunity to play in the preseason. But if he's ready, if he's been working out, if he is focused and ready to make the most out of his opportunity, he can be a dynamic player, especially you couple him with Tom Brady. Tom Brady makes undrafted rookie receivers all-pro. I mean, he's a guy that can make you an all-pro player easily. So Josh Gordon, having the best quarterback who's ever played the game, I mean, come on, man. That could be great.
You know, this is normally the time where I ask my Detroit Lions question because I've been a lifelong.
Don't hurt yourself. Don't kill yourself.
I've been a lifelong Lions fan, and so I'm gonna phrase it this way: which team had a dreadful season last year will have another dreadful season this year?
You know what, man? I hope I've always liked the Detroit Lions, and I've always hoped that they can get it together. You know what, Matt Stafford has been that quarterback who's had ultimate promise. He's like he's like when spring kind of peeks his head for the first time. You know, it's like, oh, I hope that it's going to be warm. But then 2 weeks later, you know, we're in the middle of winter again. So I honestly believe that Matt Stafford has to be able to take that next step. He has to be able to take the team on his back and then move them forward. But he hasn't shown the ability to do that. You know, I picked off Matt Stafford twice in a playoff game. You know, and that I'm not demeaning my ability at all, but what I'm saying is, like, at the biggest stage of his career, he folded. You know, and I think until he addresses that, and we've seen this time and time again, out of Matt Stafford, out of Andy Dalton, these guys who have incredible athletic ability, who have great leadership, plays the first 4 or 5 games incredible, but when they're in stressful, intense, game-wrenching situations, somehow they fold. So I would love for the Detroit Lions to be able to get over that hump. They have a good defense, a good secondary, have playmakers in the secondary, but Matt Stafford is going to be the key for them to get over that hump.
Again, oh well. Who else that was down and out last year would remain down and out in your books?
The San Francisco 49ers, man. Jimmy, yeah. I hate it because I want him to do so well. I'm pro player. You know, I want Jimmy to get to fulfill all those contractual obligations that they paid him for. But, you know, I like Jalen Hurts, but for some reason, the San Francisco 49ers can't get it together with their running game. It seems as if they can't stop the run. I don't see, especially in the NFC West, I don't see them being better than the San Francisco, I mean, not the the Seattle Seahawks. I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to have a problem this year.
Jabari, thanks very much. Enjoy your weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
Jabari Greer, former NFL player, TSN NFL analyst, at Jabari_Greer is the Twitter account. He praised the Lions' defense. That might be a first.
Yeah, but he also agreed with me on Matt Stafford. I don't think he's getting Jabari's vote for the Hall of Fame there.
Well, those telling moments, you see them, whether you're a fan or a journalist, you see that moment where something could go right and it doesn't, and it does leave a mark, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's always the interesting conversation with quarterbacks, right? Because you have guys that have had success in the playoffs. If it's about winning, Eli Manning has won, but Eli Manning is what he is. He's a good quarterback, or was a good quarterback, I should specify. But he was never a great quarterback. He won, so did Joe Flacco. But are those guys Hall of Famers simply because they won? Probably, but I don't know if they should be. And then you've got guys that are a lot more talented that put up incredible numbers that probably don't. Phillip Rivers is a great example of it. He very rarely comes up in the conversation among the best quarterbacks in the NFL and really the best quarterbacks ever. But you look at his numbers, I mean, obviously they're inflated by this era where there's so much passing and there's more scoring than ever before, but Phillip Rivers has had an incredible career and doesn't get nearly as much credit as at one day Eli Manning used to.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point because Tom Brady ruins it for everybody. I mean, when you have that kind of a career and that's the bar, everybody else is underneath it by a significant difference.
And it's so hard. I think in any sport, it's really tough to compare players of different eras. But in this case, when you're talking about quarterbacks and you're talking about this era, there's just, look at even the average guys are putting up numbers that some of the elite guys were putting up back 20 years ago. It's just a completely different game, at least from the quarterback position. So, yeah, I mean, we're watching a game right now. We're living in an era where there are just so many great quarterbacks. It's completely changed the dynamic of the game.
What was interesting was he picked in the NFC New Orleans to continue to rise. They were 13-3 last year. How do you get better than that?
Well, he's got some bias there on the New Orleans side of things, yeah. But no, I mean, the Saints are a great team, have been for a long time. They're probably not feeling so great about things after the way it ended last year, so I'm sure they're highly motivated. Not that they wouldn't have been already. Alvin Kamara's incredible. They've got a lot. Michael Thomas is great. They've got a lot of talent there, especially offensively. And then there's just Drew Brees. Speaking of Tom Brady, a guy that does it every year. And Drew Brees is actually one of those guys. I mean, he's obviously a Hall of Famer. He's obviously a great quarterback. But I would argue he doesn't get enough credit for the career that he's had as well.
Coming up next, Best Bets. The Grappler's going to help us out with that. You're listening to Overdrive on TSN 1050, streaming online and watching on TSN 2. That's the remote start right there. Boom, gone for the weekend. Jim Taddy and Josh Lewenberg with you on Overdrive today. Getaway Friday. Time now for today's Best Bets, brought to you by ProLine. And these are, I mean, Grappler has done this. I'm not going to take any credit for this, but these are cream puff matchups if I've ever seen them. Chicago Cubs visiting Pittsburgh will take Chicago by 2 runs. Baltimore visiting Boston. Oh, what will we do here? Boston by 2 runs. And Detroit visiting Tampa Bay will take the Rays by 2 runs. I get all 3 right, or the Grappler gets all 3 right. You put $20 on it, you get $68.20 in return. You can find these picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio, and you can get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game.
Boston's only favored by 2 runs over Baltimore. That's free money.
Well, I mean, come on. The Cubs in Pittsburgh, Baltimore against Boston. The Tigers suck. I mean, come on. Wow. I don't want to throw them under the bus because I couldn't do this, but
it's not good, eh?
No, it's not good. No, not at all. Anything else?
No, I just want to know what your problem is with my picks. I thought they were nice and easy for you.
Well, they are. I mean, come
a little
on.
Bit too easy.
Yeah.
It's not much of a payout. I will be.
Yeah, you're such an idiot here.
We need the other one. Nobody's fault.
It's an unfortunate set of circumstances. It's no one's fault.
No. None. Nobody to blame here.
Nobody's fault.
So we have basketball overnight again.
5:25 a.m. Wake up bright and early. Is it even early at that time? Is it even bright at that time? I don't think it's bright.
My cat's not even awake at that time.
No, but wake up at 5:25 a.m. And you can watch Canada versus Australia with Jim Taddy's cat.
Yes.
Yeah, Jim, let's finish off the show next 2 minutes. Just tell us about your cat. Tell us about, the ups and downs of that relationship the last few years.
It's fine. Everything's okay. The cat is fine. I'm okay. Everything's good. And we have a couple of minutes to go still. So
we're
okay. Yeah, thank you for using my line on me. Nobody does that.
Do I have to pay royalties on that? Well, I already owe you for my career, right?
No. See, and here's the thing about careers. There are people that give you opportunities, but it's up to you to do well with them, and you've done an excellent job. So, I knew that when you were a student. I'd look at Josh and go, it's going to work out.
This was an honor, like I said, to be able to do this. We've worked together a lot. We used to host the Raptors broadcast together, but it's sort of full circle in the way that, as I said earlier, the door to TSN radio, which at the time was very new. It was 2 months old in 2011. It was a great time to get in there. The door to TSN radio was opened to me by Jim Taddy. So to be able to do this and sit here today and host with you, regardless, I mean, we had some fun and we talked about some Rip the Jays, which was great. I had a lot of fun doing that. Everyone in the city has been doing it, so I felt left out. Yeah. But regardless of what we talked about, just being here and being able to host this with you today was really cool and a lot of fun.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I really love that you pointed that out. It's not something I'm going to trumpet, but when it comes from you, it means a lot to me. And so we go back, 8 years, 9 years to...
Nine years?
Yeah, so, no, it had to be 8, because it was 2011 when we went on the air, right?
Yeah.
So it's 8 years. But one of the other elements is people open the door for you, you take advantage, and you go on to bigger and better things. Timing is kind of a thing that you can't control. So, but you were there at the right time. I walk into a classroom and you're doing a great job, and I just started this radio station, and so that all worked out. That's karma, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know what it is, but you turned out to be a great employee here and have done a great job. So it's an honor for me too.
Now I'm going to need those tissues.
Yeah, it's a real tear jerker, isn't it? And on that note, we'll say goodbye. Drive safely on the weekend and enjoy your summer. I'll be back next week doing something. I don't know what it is, but thank you.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan, one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Shop the Nissan Now sales event online at ScarboroughNissan.com or in person on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. They've been open at the same location since 1989. And it's not just the amazing vehicles that keep people coming back.
During the Nissan Now sales event, get lease or finance rates from 0% APR for up to 84 months on the Nissan you want now. Like the 2019 Rogue, Qashqai, Kicks, or Sentra. Plus, get up to $5,000 standard rate finance cash.
Visit Scarborough Nissan on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. ScarboroughNissan.com.